Harvest New Beginnings Church is located in Oswego, Illinois. We exist for God's glory alone, encouraging each other to have a deep love for God and a sincere love for people. This message is brought to you by Pastor Scott Poling.
There are many wonderful things children remember from their childhood. Words of sincere endearment spoken by loving parents like, "Don't make me pull this car over. Don't roll your eyes at me. Wipe that smile off your face or I'll wipe it off for you. If I told you once, say it with me, I've told you 1,000 times. Just wait till your father gets home." Or the always classic, "This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you." Now, some of those words were empty threats, but some of them were prophecy fulfilled. We all grew up in different homes with different parents who had different parenting styles and different forms of discipline in our homes. According to Merriam-Webster, discipline means to punish or penalize for the sake of enforcing obedience and perfecting moral character. I like that last part. But does discipline even work? Is discipline even necessary in today's educated, refined, enlightened, ever-improving world and culture? Well, if discipline is necessary, what's the best and right way to discipline children? We're in the middle of a series called Our Imperfect Family. Boy, is that the truth, isn't it? We're all imperfect. Imperfect husbands, imperfect wives, imperfect parents, imperfect children. We're trying to learn what it means to make this house work, make this home work, our families. And if you've missed any of the previous messages, please go back and podcast them. There's ones for husbands and wives and parenting and laying the foundation of building. And last week, we learned the importance of children obeying and honoring their parents. And this week, the importance of understanding what happens to children when they don't honor and they don't obey. But this message isn't just for children. It's not just for parents. It's for every single one of us, because God deals with us as children. And so to fully understand discipline, we're going to study it from two different vantage points. We're going to study it from our Heavenly Father, who disciplines his children, and we're going to study it from earthly parents who discipline their children. So we'll go back and forth and see how they connect. We're going to look at a lot of verses. We're going to study a lot of passages because we want a full biblical picture of what discipline is, to understand it and to know how to practice it. And honestly, there's going to be too much for you to digest. So do the best you can, take notes, and I would encourage you even review this, go back and listen to it again. But this is my prayer. My prayer that this message will be very, very helpful, very insightful, very biblical, and very encouraging. But for some of you, it may be challenging, even uncomfortable at times. I want you to listen to the entire message. Don't take what I say out of context. Don't take a verse of the Bible out of context. See it as a whole. Take in the whole with an open mind to biblical truth. Now, I'm of the opinion that God's word is inspired. It's inerrant. It is unchanging truth. It is not something to be watered down. It is not something to be avoided, but something to be embraced and studied and to be thankful for, the word of God. And what applied 2,000 years ago, 500 years ago, 100 years, what applied 50 years ago still applies today, because the truth of God's word never changes. Culture is constantly changing, and culture is very confusing. What was right 10 years ago is all of a sudden wrong, and what was wrong 10 years ago is all of a sudden right. God's word's not confusing. God's word is truth. And truth is not confusing, because truth is not based on what's popular today or popular tomorrow. God's word is truth, and truth is always right. Truth never changes. And God is the never-changing expert on all things, including parenting and including discipline. So what does God's word have to say about discipline? First, expect God's discipline. If you have come to faith in Jesus Christ and you are a child of God, it is very clear in his word that you will be disciplined. God disciplines, corrects, reproves his own children, you and me. And he takes his responsibility very seriously. He does not let his children get away with sin because sin is destructive and dangerous and harmful and hurts us. And so he protects us by disciplining us. One of the best passages on God's discipline is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 5 reads this way. And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly, or lose heart when you are reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves. He punishes every son he receives. Endure suffering as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there that a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, which all receive, you're illegitimate children and not sons. Discipline is a sign of sonship. As a matter of fact, the word son or sons is mentioned 6 times in those 4 verses. Every true child of God is disciplined by their heavenly father, corrected by their heavenly father, reproved by their heavenly father. And if you are not disciplined by God, you are not a child of God, you're an illegitimate child, is what he says. When my kids were young, whole neighborhood was full of kids and kids would be playing all over the place and sometimes my kids would get in trouble and I'd have to discipline my kids. I didn't discipline the neighbor's kids, no matter how much they needed it, because they weren't my kids. I disciplined my own children. We see discipline in another passage. It's in the communion passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the church was being irreverent toward the communion time. This solemn time to be taken seriously, this precious time of remembering the body and blood of our Lord as sacrifice. And in the early church, communion was accompanied with a big feast. Everybody in the church would feast alongside of it or after it. And the believers were being disrespectful. Some were even drunk at the church feast. And some were selfishly pigging out and not sharing with others. And these were the words to the Corinthian church in verse 29. Forever eats and drinks without recognizing the body, without recognizing the body of Christ and the solemnness of this time. Eats and drinks judgment to himself. This is why many are sick and ill among you, and many have fallen asleep or died. If we were properly judging ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined. So God disciplined irreverent, arrogant, selfish children of his because they failed to judge themselves. They failed to repent of their sin and turn from their sin and do whatever they want. And God said, I discipline my children. And that's why he says to us, parents, discipline your children. Discipline your children. This is not a suggestion, parents. This is a command repeated over and over and over in Scripture. Proverbs 29:17, discipline your child. God simply commands us to do what he does with us. We are his children. We have children. He disciplines us. We are to discipline our children. That's what it means to be a good, godly parent. And to do it now, not later, while they're young. Proverbs 19, discipline your son while there's hope, while they're still in the home, while they're young, while they're impressionable. It's the concrete that needs to be formed before it hardens, before those habits of sin grow strong in your child. It's training the sapling to grow that you've just planted in your yard, while its branches are tender and malleable and flexible, because pretty soon that sapling's going to be a big immovable oak of resistance. And you need to take care of those kids now in discipline. And to be diligent in our discipline. Proverbs 13, but the one who loves him disciplines him diligently. Do you love your child? Then you discipline your child. And attentively, that's what diligent means, thoroughly, steadily, and consistently. Proverbs 23:13, don't withhold discipline from a youth. Sometimes we're tempted to do that as parents. They do something wrong, they disobey, and you know, we kind of let it slide, not make a big deal about it. We excuse their disobedience. Well, they really didn't mean it. Oh, they did, you know, or something else. And we put off discipline. Oh, I'll get around to doing it, and we don't. God says, listen, don't put it off. Don't withhold discipline. It's too important in the life of your child. How long should we practice discipline? Proverbs 23 again. Don't withhold discipline from a youth. The word youth describes everything from babies to toddlers to young children up to young men. In other words, if your child is under your roof, you're always training them. If you have a child still living with you, you're training them, and part of training is discipline at times. Ephesians 6:4, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. It's not just Old Testament, it's also New Testament. And training of and instruction of the Lord also includes discipline. So expect God's discipline. Discipline your children. Why does God discipline us? Thirdly, realize the blessings of God's discipline. It is so good for us, and it grows us in godliness. How so? Discipline yields holiness. Hebrews 12, comparing earthly dads to our heavenly Father. For they disciplined us for a short time, based on what seemed good to them. Our dads did the best they could. But he, that is God, does it for our benefit so that we can share in his holiness. And holiness is God's will for our life. 1 Peter chapter 1. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance. But as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Children often pick up the traits of their moms and dads. God has amazing traits. Only one of those traits is repeated three times. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. And you know what God says? I want you to be holy as I am. You're my son. You're my daughter. And I expect holiness in your life. Discipline yields righteousness in Hebrews 12. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time. Isn't that the truth? But painful. Later on, however, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. We are trained by pain, is what God says. God uses pain to train you as his child. God uses pain to train me as his child. And what is the result of pain? It brings about peace, peaceful fruit. It brings about peace in my heart and peace in my life and peace in your home and peace in relationships. It helps restore peace. It brings about peaceful righteousness, the peaceful fruit of righteousness. When we are trained by pain, you know what it does? It helps us now to do the right things and make the right decisions and use the right words and live the right way. Holiness, righteousness, discipline yields happiness or blessing. Psalm 94. Lord, how happy or blessed is anyone you discipline and teach your law. And notice the connection of discipline and teaching. Now he says, how blessed or how happy is anyone you discipline? There's joy in being brought back on course, so to speak, a course correction. In other words, you know what it's like being in your car. Maybe you're driving down the highway or you're driving in a new town. You've never been here before and you're watching the GPS and you're listening to the GPS and it speaks to you. And all of a sudden, you just missed that turn. There's traffic everywhere and you're frustrated and you're upset and you don't know what's happening. And then the voice comes back on and says, in 1,000 feet, take a right turn. And you're like, okay, I'm back on track. It brings you joy. I want you to understand that's what happens with us. Sometimes we go off course because we choose something we shouldn't have done. We make a wrong turn into sin. And it causes anxiety and we're upset and there's no peace. And God comes back on with discipline. And he says, I'm going to help you get back on course. And it restores us is what it does. And I notice here how happy or blessed is anyone you discipline and teach. Discipline and teaching go hand in hand. That's what we see here. Psalm 119:67 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. God uses pain to open up our ears. And all of a sudden now I'm willing to listen to what God's word has to say. Because of that discipline in my life, I have learned the importance of acting right and living right and following the teaching of God that is always right. Holiness, righteousness, happiness, discipline yields protection from condemnation. Remember those selfish Corinthians, irreverent, proudful, back in chapter 11? But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned with the world. It's protection. Discipline keeps us from falling into the sinful ways of this world. When God disciplines us, it keeps us from facing the serious consequences and judgment of sin that others are going to face because they didn't turn to God. Realize the blessings of God's discipline in your life. Realize the blessings of your discipline as parents and your discipline as children who receive correction from your parents. Discipline, what does it do for our kids? Just look at the blessings of what discipline does in the lives of our children. It increases understanding, Proverbs 4. Listen, sons, to a father's discipline. Pay attention so that you may gain understanding. It increases knowledge, Proverbs 12. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. It increases wisdom, Proverbs 15. The one who listens to life-giving rebukes will be at home among the wise. In Proverbs 29, a rod of correction imparts wisdom. Discipline places your child in an accelerated learning program. That's what discipline does. Don't hold your children back from this accelerated learning program. There's a lot of kids out there that are foolish because their parents don't discipline them. Discipline increases good sense. Two verses in Proverbs 15. But a person who accepts correction is sensible. Whoever listens to correction acquires good sense. What does that mean? It means they learn how to be reasonable and rational and prudent and careful in life. They understand what to do and what not to do. Look at all the benefits. Don't rob your children of understanding and knowledge and wisdom and good sense. It also increases honor. Proverbs 13. The one who accepts correction will be honored. Why? How can they be honored? They're honored because of their good godly behavior, which brings recognition and honor. Disciplined children rise in respect, those who've been disciplined. Discipline protects your child from sin. Proverbs 20. Lashes and wounds purge away evil, and beatings cleanse the innermost parts. Lashes, wounds, and beatings. Oh my. That sounds absolutely horrible, Pastor Scott. This sounds like physical abuse. We are going to talk about the difference between child discipline and child abuse in a moment. Just hang in there, stay with me. But I want you to notice from this verse what discipline does. It purges away evil. It disinfects your kids against the bacteria of sin, is what discipline does. And it cleanses deep within, innermost parts. It's an amazing thing that happens. Physical discipline can go where no words have gone before, no matter how much you talk to them. And we've all seen that with parents. They just over and over and over and over and over and over, keep talking to that kid. Don't do that. We don't do that. We don't do that. We don't do that. One swat, we'll fix that. Just one. In the right place at the right time. It's amazing. My oldest daughter was 6 months old when she got her first swat. You heard me right, 6 months old. I was a horrible, rotten dad. Stay with me. Listen to the full story. This adorable little girl, big blue eyes. She never crawled, she rolled. She rolled around the living room, and she would roll over to the plant that we had in the living room, and she would take one of those leaves in the plant, grab it, look at me, rip the leaf, and stuff it in her mouth. And I had a decision to make. What am I going to do with this little kid? Am I going to let a six-month-old call the shots in this house, and I'm going to run around like a crazy man, picking everything up and picking up every plant and putting it up high? Or am I just going to simply train my daughter in right and wrong? So one day, she looked at me, rolled over to that plant with those big blue eyes, grabbed it, ripped it. What are you going to do about it, Daddy-O? So I went over to her, and this is what I did. I took that beautiful hand. I had to open it up, take the plant out of it. I took that precious, delicate, soft little hand, and I put it in my hand. And I said, Brenna, no. And I did this. Oh, eyes filled with tears. She's so sad. She starts crying. I'm just telling you right now, my daughter still doesn't eat houseplants to this day. She doesn't even eat a salad, okay? No vegetarians in my family. I'm just telling you. That was not child abuse. That was simple child training. Not child abuse. child training. I'll give you another example. When our children were young and they were sitting in high chairs, and you know what it's like to have a kid or a grandkid sit in a high chair, and they have food in their mouth and they do this. Food goes everywhere. And the first time they do it, we're like, oh, that's really cute. Oh, and then it's not cute anymore. And there are some parents, they get the big plastic pull out and put the high chair in it. They put plastic everywhere. Listen, this is a real simple one. You go like this with your finger, and you just flick the side of their mouth. You apply pain to the point of the problem. It's so simple. Our kids stopped spitting food like that. You just flick them on the cheek. Just do that to your husband right now, ladies. Just practice it, okay? It's really simple. That is not child abuse. That is simple child training that Scripture teaches. It also protects your child's life. Proverbs 6 goes much further, much more important and serious. For a command is a lamp, teaching is a light, and corrective discipline is the way to life. Discipline is basically saying, danger, we don't touch that. We don't touch that stove. We don't touch that electricity. We don't touch that. Danger, we don't go there. Proverbs 15:10, discipline is harsh to the one who leaves away. The one who hates correction will die. Proverbs 23, don't withhold discipline from a youth. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. He might think he's going to die. He is not going to die. Punish him with a rod and you will rescue his life from Sheol. My youngest son, Dawson, he did a lot of things early. He was walking before he was 9 months old. Oh my goodness, that was hard. He learned to ride a bike really early because he's got older brothers and a sister. And so they're riding bikes. So he wants to learn to ride a bike and he's pedaling all over. And I had to sit him down with some rules when it comes to riding a bike. I said, son, we don't cross the street unless there's driveway to driveway. And when we cross the street, we stop our bike, we look both ways numerous times, and then we cross the street. So one day I'm out in the yard, not too much longer after that, and I'm seeing him ride his bike, and he just goes right across the street, not driveway to driveway, didn't even look for cars. Said, Dawson, I called him, put your bike away, come inside. We went to the laundry room, that's where we did our correction, and he felt the pain of a spanking. It was a good painful spanking. Why? Because this pain of a spanking was going to protect him from the pain of a car crushing his skull and smashing his body. And he had to understand that pain to protect his life from pain. Discipline can protect the life of your child from an untimely death. Discipline also, get this parents, protects your sanity. Proverbs 29. Discipline your child and it will bring you peace of mind and give you delight. Please get that. You can have peace of mind. Some parents are losing it. They're going nuts trying to raise their kids because they're not disciplined in disciplining their children. It's one reason. A little discipline can go a long way in your sanity. Please understand that. Peace now and peace later. Peace later. Knowing you've done your job. Assurance that there's going to be okay in this life and confident they can make right decisions. And delight, it'll bring you peace of mind and delight. Now, I got to tell you, I can't tell you how many times my wife and I would sit at a restaurant with our four children, all little children, and then our fifth child came along, and we all sat around a table at a restaurant after church or whenever. All my children ordered their own food. All my children said please and thank you. All my children stayed sitting on their chairs, and from time to time, we'd have an older couple or another couple walk by, or they'd come by and say, oh, we love your family. Your children are so well-behaved. They're such angels. You're so lucky. And I'm like, this has nothing to do with luck. We had to train these little sinners. Don't you understand? Do you understand how much time and effort and work went into this? That is not luck. So when you're out at a restaurant, you see a family and all the children are well-behaved, please understand that is not luck and they are not angels. They were trained is what they were. Parents, train your children. It'll bring you delight. It'll bring you delight now. It'll bring you delight later. You're going to save yourself from so many headaches and so many heartaches as you watch your children increase in understanding and wisdom and knowledge and good sense and honor. And you're going to save yourself from shame and disgrace. Proverbs 29, a rod of correction imparts wisdom. But a youth left to himself is a disgrace to his mother. How many shameful kids out there bring disgrace to their parents? The way they talk to their teachers at school and the way they act at school. The way they talk back to their coaches and think they know it all. The way they talk to their parents in public and in private. And trust me, there it's only a matter of time before they're getting in trouble and bringing shame with the law as well. Now again, you can do everything right. You can parent so well. You can discipline so well. Proverbs are not unbreakable rules. They are guidelines to godliness. Your child can still go off the rails, and they have a free will, and they can rebel, and some of them do, and you pray for them to come back because they know the truth, but at least start them on the right path. Start them that way. They have a much better chance of staying on it. Now, knowing these things about these blessings, and God's discipline is good for us, brings us to our next point. Embrace God's discipline. Welcome it. When God uses pain in your own life, welcome it. And thank God for it. Don't reject, despise, or loathe the discipline of God. Proverbs 3. Do not despise the Lord's instruction, my son, and do not loathe his discipline. Don't take the Lord's discipline lightly. Don't blow it off. Don't disregard it. Don't refuse to change. Hebrews 12. And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly. You take God's discipline seriously, just like we should take it as a child to a parent. Don't lose heart over God's discipline. The verse goes on, my son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly, or lose heart when you are reproved by him, by God. Why would some of us lose heart when God uses pain in our life to discipline us? Because we feel like a failure. God, I failed you again. Maybe because we feel like God has rejected us. God, you're doing this in my life because you've rejected me and you've abandoned me. No. We feel like God is not going to forgive us anymore. He's forgiven us so many times and now he's not going to forgive me. We feel like God doesn't love us. He's allowed this pain in our life. God, you must not love me any. Stop going by your feelings. I feel. It has nothing to do with our feelings. It has to do with the truth of God's word and our faith. Your father disciplines you because he loves you. Your father disciplines me because he loves me. He disciplines us so that we can grow in godliness and have joy restored. That's why he does it. So don't reject and don't take it lightly and don't lose heart. And make sure you respect and submit to God's discipline. Verse 9 of Hebrews 12. Furthermore, we had human fathers discipline us. We respected them. I respected my dad when he disciplined me. Shouldn't we submit even more to the Father of spirits? Why does he use the word Father of spirits? It's a comparison. Earthly dads are raising physical children. Our Heavenly Father is raising us spiritual children. And he says here, respect and submit. Don't resent God's discipline, the pain he allows in your life. Discipline is to draw us closer in relationship with him so that relationship is restored and communication is restored, open and honest and humble with me to my God and you to your God. And a renewed appreciation takes place for his authority in my life and your life. He is our Father. And now the same thing with us is the same thing true with our children. Knowing the benefits of blessings of discipline, children accept your parents' discipline. Don't fight it. Don't refuse it. Accept it. What does it mean to accept? Accept means you listen carefully to your mom's correction and your dad's correction. You don't disregard it. Proverbs 4, listen, sons, to a father's discipline. Pay attention so that you may gain understanding. Proverbs 19, if you stop listening to correction, my son, you will stray from the words of knowledge. Be always listening and you will be always learning from your parents. Be always listening and you won't be straying in this life. And always have a receptive ear. And this goes for our children as well for us as adults in many situations in life. Proverbs 25, a wise correction to a receptive ear is like a gold ring or an ornament of gold. Ladies, think of it this way. You have an earring you're trying to get in your ear and you can't get that thing in there and it's hurting and you finally pop it through. But once it's in, man, it looks good. Hangs there, it's beautiful. Sometimes, kids, it's hard to listen to a parent's correction. It hurts. You don't like how it makes you feel. But it's for your benefit. Let it through. And it's going to make you something beautiful. And parents, We need to be wise in our correction. You see what this verse says? A wise correction to a receptive ear. You have to time your correction right. Is this the wise time to talk to your child about this? Maybe it's the wrong time. Is this the wise word that you're going to use? Or are there some better words you could use? Is this the wise disposition you're coming at your child with? Or are you just so angry and frustrated? That's not the time. Your disposition has to be right as well. Wise correction. And then how beautiful the combination, though, when they come together. A wise correction to a listening ear. A caring parent with wise correction and a humble child, not defensive or proudful, willing to listen and learn. And when they come together, it is a win-win and a thing of beauty. Accept means receive discipline with a good attitude, kids. Don't despise, Proverbs 1. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Proverbs 15, a fool despises his father's discipline. Don't reject, Proverbs 10. The one who follows instruction is on the path of life, but the one who rejects correction goes astray. Don't mock or mouth off to your parents. Proverbs 13, a wise son responds to his father's discipline, but a mocker doesn't listen to a rebuke. Listen. Don't ignore, Proverbs 15, anyone who ignores discipline despises himself. Poverty and disgrace will come to those who ignore discipline. The one who accepts correction will be honored. There's actually unforeseen consequences that can come by ignoring correction. Think about it. He says it can affect you financially and bring poverty, it can affect you socially and bring disgrace. How can that happen? Because this is not just for kids, this is for us as adults. You have an adult that comes to you and tries to correct you to help you understand something, and you're just so full of yourself that you won't listen to correction. You have a spouse, your husband or your wife, come to you and say, hey, I think you could have handled this better. I don't think it was the right. Well, who do you think you are? You better be careful of your response to correction. From a boss, from a friend, I mean, the wounds of a friend are a thing of beauty, if we're told in Scripture. From a spouse, from a parent as well. We need to learn to love discipline. That's not easy, but it's necessary. Proverbs 12, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but the one who hates correction is stupid. God says, you want to be stupid or you want to be wise? You're going to listen to what somebody says to you or you're not? Because if you don't listen, you're stupid. And some people absolutely hate being corrected in life. They won't listen to anybody. They hate being corrected and they hate the person who's trying to correct them. And they take every correction as a personal attack against them. Are you that arrogant to think that everybody's trying to attack you? Do you think you're that perfect in life that you can never listen to anybody correct you? You can't listen to a spouse correct you? You can't listen to your parents correct you? You can't listen to a friend or a coworker correct you? Are you that arrogant to think you can't improve on something in your life? That's stupidity, is what God says. And to hate correction is to hate yourself, because correction is good for us. And those who hate correction will live with many regrets in this life. Proverbs 5:12. And you will say one day, how I hated discipline and how my heart despised correction. In the context of that passage is a person that wouldn't listen to his instructors and he wouldn't listen to his teachers. And he paid the price morally with sexual sin. And he paid the price physically with weakness and sickness. And he paid the price financially with loss of resources. And he paid the price socially with ruin and shame in his life. Listen to correction. Accept your parents' discipline. And recognize now God's instruments of discipline. How does God discipline us? And then we'll see how we are to discipline our children. How does God do this? Well, one way he does is he uses his word. 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We all know what it's like to read our Bibles. And we're taught. We're actually rebuked at some times, and corrected and trained. We all know what it's like to sit through a message, maybe even today, and you've been taught. And some of you have been rebuked. And some of us have been corrected. And hopefully we're all being trained. The word of God is a sword, Hebrews 4. The Word of God is living and effective, sharper than a two-edged sword, a double-edged sword, penetrating to the soul, to the spirit. That's how far the Word of God goes down deep inside of us. The Word of God is a fire and a hammer in Jeremiah 23. Is not my word like a fire? This is the Lord's declaration. Like a hammer that pulverizes rock? That's the power of God's word. It's a sword that sticks us deep to the soul, pierces us. It's a fire that burns with conviction in our heart. It's a hammer that shatters our pig-headed pride at sometimes and gets our attention. God uses his word to discipline us. God uses suffering. Hebrews 12. Endure suffering as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there that a father does not discipline? Verse 11, no discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. God uses pain in my life and your life to teach us. He can use physical pain. He can use emotional pain. He can use financial pain in our lives to get our attention. Now, I want to say this. Not all suffering is because of sin. Don't assume that in your own life, and don't assume that in somebody else's life. Oh, they're suffering. They must be in sin. No. That's not the case. But in moments of pain, every single one of us should ask, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Lord, is there anything I've done in my life that needs correction? Have I done something that you are not pleased with? Too often, you know what? When I'm in pain and you're in pain, you know how we handle it? We just complain. We just complain about it. Stop complaining about your pain and start talking to God about it. God, I'm in pain right now. What is the purpose of this pain? What are you trying to teach me? What do you want me to learn? Is it greater faith? Greater trust in you? Watch how you're going to provide. I'm in pain right now. God, do I need a course correction? Is there something in my life that is not right or pleasing in your sight? Would you help me recognize it and make it right? God uses his word. He uses suffering. God uses sickness. And again, that doesn't mean every sickness is because of sin. But some sicknesses are. Back to 1 Corinthians, whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many are sick and ill among you. God was judging many in the Corinthian church with sickness and illness, and he was using that as discipline in their life to teach them and help them grow in godliness. God even uses death, sadly. Same passage, this is why many are sick and ill among you, and many have fallen asleep, meaning death. And we see this in the book of Acts. There was a husband and a wife in Acts chapter 5, by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. They were members of the Jerusalem church. And they were all about gaining the applause of people, and the approval of people. And so they were lying about the gifts they were giving. And they were coming across so generous and letting everybody know how generous they were. And it was just all a sham. It was all a front. And the husband would drop dead because Peter saw through it by the Spirit of God. And he confronted him, and he lied about it. And then he confronted the wife, and she lied about it. We see it in Acts 5, 9. Peter said to her, why did you agree with your husband to test the spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they're going to carry you out as well. Instantly, she dropped dead at his feet. When the young men came in, they found her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside her husband. Then great fear came on the whole church and all who heard these things. May we live in the fear of God's discipline. And I mean that sincerely. And if there is anything in your life, Christian, that you need to repent of it now. You have secret sin that nobody else knows about. God knows all about it. And you are not getting away with it. And it's only a matter of time until some kind of discipline falls on you. I would encourage you to humble your heart and make it right with God before you leave this place today. And ask for his forgiveness. He loves you. And he will forgive you. But can you imagine sin so abhorrent to your Father in heaven? Shame that you could just continue to bring to his name. That he has to say, I'm done with you. You're coming home. My dad and I have often talked about my grandfather. His name was Lester Smith Poling. I've never met him. He was raised in a good, godly Christian home whose parents served in the local church in Keyport, New Jersey. They served all over the place in many different roles. He was raised in the church, raised to love the Lord, raised under the truth. And he totally rejected it all. He rejected scripture and just went into sexual immorality. He rejected the Bible and went to the bottle. And he was a womanizing drunk all of his adult life. And at the age of 43, he dropped dead of a heart attack. My dad was only 9 at the time. And I never met my grandfather, obviously. Sin is serious. And consequences are serious. Come back to the Lord. Understanding and practicing discipline. Recognize God's instruments. Okay, parents, utilize appropriate instruments for discipline. What are they? Well, there's many different tools in the discipline toolbox. Just like a carpenter has many different tools for many different jobs, there's many different kinds of discipline for different, you know, things you need to train your child with. You just need to make sure the punishment fits the crime. We can use words of correction. God uses his word. We can use our words. Proverbs 15, the one who listens to life-giving rebukes will be at home among the wise. Anyone who ignores discipline despises himself. Whoever listens to correction acquires good sense. That was my oldest daughter, besides the time on her hand. All we'd have to do with Brenna, most of the time, is talk to her, sit her down, explain what she did wrong. Oh, and she would be broken that she disappointed us. Pretty much most of the discipline for her was just verbal correction. My son's, not the case. Sometimes you got to use instruments of correction. And please understand, physical discipline is different than physical abuse. Do not equate the two. The world equates the two. Much of culture equates the two. Sadly, some of you were physically abused. We don't make light of this. And we are sorry if that happened to you. It was wrong. But all physical discipline is not physical abuse. Swatting my daughter's hand was not physical abuse. It was training. Protecting my son's life with appropriate pain so he doesn't get killed by a car was not physical abuse. It was training. And there's at least 10 separate proverbs in the Bible. Here's a list of them. There may be more. You can study these on your own. All of these teach physical discipline of a child. We've seen some, and we'll study a few more. Proverbs 29:15, a rod of correction imparts wisdom. Proverbs 23, don't withhold discipline from a youth. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with a rod, you will rescue his soul from Sheol. And rods come in all different sizes and all different shapes. The rod used on me was the wooden spoon. Any wooden spoon kids here growing up? Okay? Any switches, any, you know, your wiry branches. Anybody here? Your parents use that. How about the paddle people? Mom or dad use a paddle. Raise your hands. You got the paddle. How about the belt? Anybody got the belt? Wow, a lot of belt people. You guys must have been really bad. Anyway, shoe or flip-flop? Anybody get those? Now, some of you raise your hand for everything. How many of you got them all? Or whatever your mom could grab at the time? Okay, there's all kinds of different things. Man, some of you are having PTSD right now. I'm so sorry. Many sit here thinking that this is wrong. This is wrong. No, you shouldn't be spanking any kid. This is probably illegal in every state. Wrong. Spanking is legal in 49 of the 50 states. Delaware is the only one that says any pain is child abuse. 49 of the 50 states, it's on the books. It's legal. Okay? They just don't want it to be excessive, unnecessary, severe, or cruel, which is what we don't want either. And actually, spanking is actually legal in the public schools in 19 states. It's actually legal in 19 states in the public school. And you're thinking, is Illinois one? No, it is not. It is not. Now, instruments of discipline can be very effective, and probably the most important verse on physical discipline is this one, Proverbs 22. Foolishness is bound to the heart of a youth. A rod of discipline will separate it from him. A rod is a detangler. It helps straighten out foolish little hearts. It's like a mom combing through her daughter's hair, getting out those knots. Children are filled with knots of foolishness, and our job is to help remove them. Please understand this. We don't want our little fools, because that's what they are, growing up to be big fools. The world has plenty of those. We don't want our little fools growing up to be big fools. And foolishness is bound to their heart. And you need to understand, it takes more than talking to your kids. It does. You can't reason with a toddler. You ever hear you can't negotiate with terrorists? You can't negotiate with toddlers either. Comedian Steve Harvey put it this way. When did we start reasoning with our kids? When did that start? Because I don't remember this when I was growing up. Arguing with a three-year-old about why he need to go to bed. What are we talking about this for? You're three. You have to go to bed because you're stupid. You need rest. You have to grow. You don't negotiate with toddlers or terrorists. And please understand, there's a very important distinction we have to make. Please get this. There's an important distinction between foolishness and childishness. Foolishness and childishness. Foolishness is defiance and disrespect and disobedience. Childishness is immaturity that comes with their age. They spill a drink at the table. They break something, it drops. They say or do something immature or silly that's like, what are you doing? Years ago, I was having lunch with a missionary that was at our church, and we went to Culver's up the road. And I brought my son Weston along with me, and, you know, a young little kid. And I'm sitting here talking to this missionary, and all of a sudden, boom! I look over at me, I had taken the Culver's bag, blew it up, and popped it. I'm like, what are you doing? You are your father's child. He wasn't disciplined for that. It was childish. I just needed to talk to him about the appropriateness of things, some things and other things that are not appropriate. Now, what I want to do right now is I want to give you a list of considerations to take down when it comes to discipline, physical or not physical. So I want you to listen through this list, okay? Consider the age of the child. The older they get, the less physical discipline. And that's nothing to cry about. That's happy. Secondly, consider regulations. You may be fostering a child or adopting a child, and there are certain rules in place, you know, that kind of tie your hands in some ways. You've got to get creative with discipline. Thirdly, consider differences of special needs kids. They may not understand what is going on, and you need to be very delicate and careful. Consider the personality of a child when it comes to discipline. What works for one child may not work for another child. It's not everything fits with all of them. Consider only discipline for your child. Again, you can't discipline the neighbor's kid. I don't discipline my grandchildren. I would not do that. They're not my child. They're not under my authority. If my kids asked me to do it, I would probably do it, but I would communicate very carefully. Hey, this is what I'm going to plan on doing. This is the way I'm doing it. I just want to make sure that's right with you. Again, I don't want to subvert their authority. Consider your own strength. A guy named Joey Salvati talks about calibrating your instrument. If you're going to use a wooden spoon or a paddle or something. And first of all, never on bare skin. Never on bare skin. And you need to know the strength of your own swing. So you need to whack yourself. You need to try it on your arm or your thigh. And you need to adjust appropriately to know what is the right thing to do. Consider the importance of consistency. If you're married, mom and dad, you got to be on the same page. They shouldn't be in trouble one day and not in trouble for the same thing the next day. You don't send mixed signals to your children. And this is hard if you're separated or if you're divorced or if you're on a different page spiritually with your husband or your wife. You got to be careful on this to communicate clearly. Another consideration is consider apologizing, parents, when you blow it, because you will. There'll be times you aren't consistent in your discipline or you've overcorrected in your discipline and you just need to be honest with your children. Let them see your humility and honesty. Consider not making spiritual things punishment. I'm going to make you memorize the entire book of Philippians. That's not a thing you want to do. I'm going to make you read your Bible or memorize 10 verses. No. Don't make spiritual things discipline. You turn the kids away from the Lord and his goodness. Consider the privacy of your child. You want to protect the dignity of your children. You don't discipline your kids publicly in front of their siblings. in front of strangers. The goal is not to embarrass your child, but to correct them. The goal is not to intimidate that kid, but to train them. My wife and I, we always sent our kids where? The laundry room. That's where they went, because it deafened the cries. No, that's not why we did it. That's not why we did it. We sent them to the laundry room because it was private, okay? They don't go in there till this day. We don't know why. No, it's private. We correct. It gives them time. We send them to the laundry room. Hey, stay in the laundry room for a little while. Mom and Dad will be there in a little while. You need to talk about it. You need to think about what you've done while we talk about it. Just don't forget they're in there. We've done that. We came in there hour later, whatever, and Dawson's asleep in the laundry basket. So it does happen. Consider another thing. Consider the process of restoration. And we learned many helpful things from a group called Growing Kids God's Way, or Along the Virtuous Way. You know, one of the things we learned was the importance of teaching them to say, I'm sorry. You want your child to say back to you, they're sorry. You want to teach them to acknowledge what they did. It's not just, well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for smacking my head, my brother against the head with a baseball bat, or whatever it was. I'm sorry for. Teach them to ask forgiveness. I'm sorry for. Would you please forgive me? You need to bring your children through the entire thing. That's what we should be doing. When we hurt our spouses, we should be saying, I'm sorry for this. Would you forgive me? And by the way, you have them do this with their sibling that they hurt. Now you need to go apologize to your sibling. You need to go do this if they stole something from the store. You need to go back to the store, have them return it, have them ask for forgiveness. That's how you teach these children in godliness to do what is right. And then you teach them the importance of that restoration. And when it's over and you're in the laundry room or wherever you are on the stairs, don't do it in their own room. You hug them. You tell them you forgive them. You tell them you love them. And you say, let's pray together. Let's just go to the Lord. And you pray with them a sweet prayer, thanking God for who he is and his forgiveness. You consider this. Not all discipline should be physical discipline. Not all discipline should be physical discipline. Now, if they punched or they kicked or they pulled hair, pain more than likely was the appropriate discipline. If they caused pain, they needed to feel some pain. But if a child breaks something, the appropriate punishment can be restitution. You broke that, you weren't careful. After I told you to be careful, you broke that lamp. You need to pay for that, or part of your allowance is now going to go toward this. You break it, you what? You buy it. You teach them that responsibility. Child doesn't do their chores. Instead, they're playing video games for hours on end. They're on the phone for hours on end with their friends, but they didn't have time for their chores. What's the appropriate punishment? Oh, that basketball game you wanted to go to tonight? I'm sorry, you can't go. Oh, that get-together with your friends? Nope, not happening this weekend. You're grounded. You're staying home. Oh, all that time that you had, I looked at how much time you used on your phone. You had that much time to spend on your phone, on social media and everything else? That's how much time you're not going to have your phone now. Or we're going to take your phone away for a day or a week. We took our eighth grade daughter's phone away for an entire month. That's what we did. You thought we killed her, but we didn't. Child is resisting authority, being disrespectful. You can delay privileges. They're looking so forward to getting their driver's license. That's going to be delayed 1 month. And they're disrespectful again. It's now 2 months. You can get really creative with discipline. Boy, the kids here are going to hate me. Children not playing nicely, not speaking nicely to their siblings, other kids, time out. Time alone in their room. And those kids that are social butterflies, that'll work really well for them. Complaining about a meal. This happened with Weston. I don't know why it's always a dinner table or food with Weston. So we're at the dinner table. Little Wessie Poo, that's what I called him. Little Wessie Poo is at the table. And we're all sitting around, the four kids. Raina wasn't born yet. And my wife had worked all day making this beautiful meal, this wonderful meal. And he looked at it. I don't want that. That doesn't taste good. We got something else to eat. I just looked at him and I said, you're done. Take your dish, put it at the sink, and go to bed. What? Go to bed. You're done. No dinner tonight. No, 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 no. I'll eat it. I'll eat anything. No, no, no. No, you're going to bed without a meal. I'm here to tell you, just to let you know, he did not die of starvation. He's totally fine. and he never complained about another meal again in his life. Oh, and by the way, the other kids have never complained about a meal either. And by the way, I haven't even complained about a meal. I learned a lesson that day as well. There's side benefits to disciplining your other children. The other children learn things as well. Now, please understand, we all have regrets. We all have regrets when it comes to raising our kids. We've disciplined in anger, we failed to discipline correctly, or we disciplined the wrong kid, we got the wrong kid, or we failed to discipline at all when we should have disciplined. I just want to assure you, God is sovereign. He's sovereign. Confess your mistakes. From here on out, just keep trying to do the best you can according to Scripture. Rest in God's grace. You survived your parents' discipline. They didn't do it right with you at all times. You survived. Rest in God's promises that he uses everything for good. Amen? And he's going to do that in your kid's life too. Two more things. We must remember these. About God, never doubt God's love and discipline. The reason he disciplines us, Proverbs 3. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves just as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights. God disciplines us not to make our life miserable, not to steal our joy, but because he loves us. We see this in the church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. He was disciplining an entire church full of people. Can you imagine if our church was so sinful that God had to discipline our entire church? As many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. Be zealous and repent. Do you notice that? The only proper response is now to be zealous for God. God, I'm going to do this right. God, I'm going to redouble my efforts. God, I'm going to commit myself to you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to worship you. And I'm going to follow your word. Zealous for God. And repent. What do you need to make right in your life? Christian, what sin is there that needs to be repented of? Turn from it and turn to God. And you who have not come to faith in God yet, repent of your sin. And trust him as your Savior. Let him forgive you and save you. And for us, we also need to understand the importance of love. Always discipline in love and with love. Always love. Always love, parents. Never discipline in anger. Yes, those kids make us so angry. They infuriate us. We get so frustrated with them and disgusted with them, and we can't believe what they said or what they did. And it's then we need time to think. We need time to cool down. We need time to talk to our spouse. If we're married, we need time to pray and ask the Lord for wisdom, the right way to handle this. Listen, discipline always requires me and always requires you to be spirit-filled. And that's the truth with everything in life. We should be spirit-filled, including when we discipline our children and how we discipline our children. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's how you are to discipline your children. With love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. If you are not any of those or not one of those, and you're about to discipline your child, you should not discipline your child. You should wait. Take time. Talk to the Lord. Review that list in Galatians before you go in and discipline your child with whatever correction it's going to be. Never discipline in anger. Discipline because we love. Proverbs 13. The one who will not use the rod hates his son. But the one who loves him disciplines him diligently. Love disciplines. Hate withholds discipline. Discipline is not child abuse. A lack of discipline is child abuse. You're setting your child up for horrible failure in this life if you do not discipline and correct them. You're setting your child for horrible sin and shame and pain. That's what you're setting your child up for if you do not correct them and discipline them. God is the expert on all things. including parenting and discipline. His word is timeless truth. Take your responsibility seriously as a parent and discipline your child. And we discipline in love and with for love. Love must be the motive of discipline, why we do it. And love must be the means of discipline, how we do it. And that's understanding and practicing discipline. Expect God's discipline. Discipline your children. Realize the blessings of God's discipline. Realize the blessings of your discipline. Embrace God's discipline. Accept your parents' discipline. Recognize God's instruments of discipline. Utilize appropriate instruments of discipline. Never doubt God's love in discipline, and always discipline in love and with love. And all God's people said, amen. Pray together. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. As a parent in this place, would you just thank God right now for his discipline? As a child of God, you know the Lord is your Savior. Thank him that he cares enough to allow pain in your life for those course corrections, to save you from more serious consequences. Parents, ask for wisdom. Whether your children are very small or whether they're older or whatever their age, ask for wisdom with your kids and pray for your kids right now. Pray that they will walk with the Lord. Pray that God will give you wisdom. Children, pray for your parents. Ask God to guide them. Thank God for your parents, that they love you enough to discipline with you. They care for you enough. You may be here today as a believer and there is unconfessed sin in your life. Your Heavenly Father knows it and he sees it. Would you confess it to him right now? Stop hiding it. Stop continuing it. Turn from it and ask for his forgiveness. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're here today and you've not come to faith in Jesus. There is a God who will forgive you of every and any sin. That's how much he loves you. Call out to him right now in the sincerity of your heart and ask him to forgive you, and he will. And you may say, Scott, that's me. I have so much sin. I need God. What do I do? Just use words like these right now. Lord, I need you. God, would you please forgive me? Would you please save me from my sin? Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for loving me that much. God, I place my faith in you. I can't save myself. I place my faith in you alone. Please save me and forgive me, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you've been prompted by this message and are in need of a new beginning, or would like more information about Harvest New Beginnings, visit @harvest.church.